Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Pete Medhurst, and we're brought to you by Burlington, standing by at Nats Park as the Nationals get set to reintroduce Steven Strasburg after signing a seven-year, $245 million contract. President and General Manager Mike Rizzo scheduled to be on the podium, as well as Strasburg's agent Scott Boras. And Strasburg will join Grant and Danny coming up sometime following the press conference right here on 106.7 The Fan. Capitals losers in Columbus last night to the Blue Jackets, while the Wizards were winners in Detroit last night. Monday Night Football, your winner was New Orleans as they smashed the Colts by a count of 34-7. We're brought to you by Burlington. Help spread the warmth. Join Burlington's annual coat drive through January 20th and donate a coat to any Burlington store in helping your neighbors in this time of need in the holiday season. For your purchase, you will get a coupon to receive 10% off your purchase. From the Crop Metcalf 5-Star Sports Desk, from Nats Park, I'm Pete Medhurst, Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
Our 10-year Bruce Allen anniversary special is going to continue until 2, but Steven Strasburg, your World Series MVP, has been re-signed, and he is meeting with the media right now live at Nationals Park. Let's listen in.
Nationals pitcher Max Scherzer, President of Baseball Operations and General Manager Mike Rizzo, Steven's representative Scott Boras from the Boras Corporation. We will begin with some opening statements from Mike, Steven, and Scott before taking questions.
Well, exciting day here in Washington, D.C.
Steven Strasburg, it's a hugely important day for the franchise. I couldn't be happier personally and professionally. I'd like to shout out a thank you to Ownership Group for giving us the resources to make Strass a national for life, and I couldn't be happier to spend the rest of your career with the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, I think we've come a long way as an organization. I think starting back, looking back on 2009, it was a little nerve-wracking, to be honest. I'm a San Diego guy, and I didn't really know what the East Coast had to offer. But you know, the Nationals were there from the beginning. I became a father, became a husband. As a National, I've grown with this organization, and it's become home to me. And you know, I just want to thank the learners for giving me this opportunity to continue my career here. They've built one of the best organizations throughout the league, and their commitment to winning is one of the big reasons why I wanted to stay on board. Last year was the highlight of my career, going out there and starting the way we did and finishing the way we did. That's something that I'll remember for the rest of my life. With that said, I'm excited to get back and doing it again and getting that journey started in February. Thank you.
It's really, really rare in baseball that someone can go and establish a legacy of his choice. And I think the Turner family, Mark, Ted, the organization, Mike, Alan, everyone involved, I think, allow for something to evolve that makes a family, as a player, part of a family. And I think that's been achieved in Washington. They've demonstrated a caring for a player that often involved difficult decisions. And we're also pleased that in making the right decisions, that all turned out so well and rewarded the franchise with the championship. I can't think of many players that can be the number one draft pick, have a beautiful wife, lovely children, win a world championship and get to carry out his career as his goal and his mentor in Tony Gwynn to be a legacy player for a franchise. And that tells you how great Steven Strasburg is.
All right, we'll open the floor to questions. We have Chris and Alec on the side. Please wait for the microphone. We'll wait for Chris. Mel in the back.
Steven, you mentioned that you were from San Diego and now Washington. So earlier in your career, was there ever a thought that that you probably would think about going back to San Diego? I mean, could that have entered your mind?
I mean, to be honest, throughout my career, I'm so fortunate to, you know, have the backing of the team, the ownership, and they've made it very clear that they want me to be a part of this organization moving forward. And throughout the course of my career, there's been ups and downs, but they've supported me throughout it all. And you know, I think that's hard to come by in this game. And it's just creating an environment that I feel like I can thrive in and achieve what I wanted to do on the field and off the field as well.
Mark?
Hey, Steve. Only a handful of players in this game get the opportunity to spend a whole career in one place. By the end of his contract, he's 17 years in the organization. Scott mentioned Tony Gwynn, he's one of the people who's done that. Growing up, was that something that meant something to you, mattered to you? How rare that is and how much that matters to a lot of people, that there aren't very many who are able to do that for a whole career like that.
I think it does have an impact on the organization from a standpoint that, you know, I mean, I've been around here long enough to know that a lot of the young kids don't even know who I am. They know who Trey Turner is. They know who Juan Soto is. But, you know, I think as much as the Nats fans that were here from day one grow up with this organization and continue to pass the tradition down to their kids, that's something that you want to be a part of. I think that's something really cool. And I think, you know, it's great for me to say that, you know, I'm going to be a National for life, but to have my kids be here too and experience being Nationals for life as well, that's something that's I'm really fortunate with. And, you know, they're in such a great position here to thrive. And, you know, my oldest just started school and she's loving every minute of it. So it's definitely a benefit.
Aaron, describe the process of finally ultimately coming down to making the decision to stick around here at DC.
Yeah, I think it was, there was a lot of things, you know, at play, and, you know, I let, you know, my agent do all the communication there. I kind of let him what I really desire at the end of the day. And once that's, you know, explained, it's kind of, I trust in his ability to get it done. And, you know, for me, it was kind of just unwinding from the crazy season and focusing on getting ready for the next one.
Jesse, on the right.
Steve, when we were in San Diego, Scott mentioned that the shutdown in 2012 maybe built a lot of trust between you and the organization in the front office, showed they cared about you as a player, person. How much does something like that factor into your thinking, reflecting on that time, sort of make you want to stay there, if it did at all?
Me personally, I think I've learned over the years that it's very important to be in the moment. You can't really look back. You can't really look too far ahead. I can understand from, you know, a management side that those are things you have to consider. For me as a player, though, like, that's not really a part of my job description. It's about making adjustments and doing everything I can to be the best version of myself.
Steven, I'll ask you in Spanish and I'll translate.
Grant and Danny listening live right now to the Steven Strasburg press conference after signing a 7-year, $245 million deal to stay with the Nationals. We'll get back into our special Bruce Allen 10-year anniversary show. Also going to be joined today by Strauss on the phone, Grant and Danny on the Fan.
I mean, I think like it was touched on earlier, it's really hard to come by in this game. And I think when you're given an opportunity to be in one spot and grow as a person, as a player, and be a part of an organization like this, you can't really let those opportunities go by. Looking back on when I got drafted, it's amazing to see how all the experiences have made me stronger as a person. And I think through the adversity, that's what I've learned, to kind of welcome the challenge and know that it's just not going to be easy, and that it's something that, you know, you put your head down and you keep working at it, you can achieve anything.
Steven, you mentioned the ups and downs, and all players have them, and the pitchers have them too. Staying in one place, how much does it matter to know that if you have ups and downs in the future, like everybody does, there'll be all of this behind you, the fans, and people will appreciate you and sort of stick with you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'd like to think that, you know, baseball is a lot like life, and I think that's I would think that that's, you know, what draws a lot of people to this game. It is a game based on failure, and I think this team really proved that if you believe in one another and you keep fighting, that you can really achieve things that most people thought were impossible. And to be a part of that environment, it's something that, you know, you want to hold on to and continue to, you know, be there.
Steven, you talk about moments. You had such a dramatic moment when you made your debut here in Washington against the Pirates. What were you thinking that day? Do you remember what you were thinking that day when it was done? And what are your memories from that day?
Oh, yeah, that felt like a long time ago. But no, that's. I think I've become more aware of the thoughts than in the past. Like that, I was just so young and dumb that, I mean, I was like, wow, this is really cool, and you have all this adrenaline and stuff, and then, you know, maybe the pressure isn't quite there because you think, okay, this is your first outing, like it can go any different way. But I think it's, you realize quickly in this game that it's not as hard to get here, it's significantly harder to stay here and stay at a high level. And that was more of the challenge, and that will always continue to be the challenge, is, you know, what adjustments are necessary to continue to perform at a high level. You know, having a great support system here is key. I mean, having Max here, you know, even Anibal Sanchez that we brought in here, Corbin, Paul Menhart, like the group of people that I'm able to be around helps me achieve that and helps me focus on, you know, what I can do to continue to be successful.
Steven, congratulations.
Thanks.
You talked throughout the postseason round about how you've grown as a leader, as a person. You talked about this multiple times. Sitting here today, how would you characterize the Steven Strasburg today compared to the guy that broke into the major leagues? What are the biggest progressions that you would say?
Much better dancer.
Yeah, no, that's it's hard to really describe it. I think it's, you know, only through experience you can learn a lot of things about yourself. But, you know, there might be a coach there that tells you, you know, how to handle certain situations, but until you do it yourself, you don't really know how you're going to respond. And I think when you're kind of put in the fire, put in the middle of a storm, that's when your true colors come out. And I think you really just focus on what's important. And for me, baseball is a very important part, but at the end of the day, it's what type of person, what type of man I am, and that's kind of the legacy that, you know, I want to leave back.
David, Steven, you mentioned Max obviously earlier. Could you expand on that a little bit, just what the relationship has been like the last few years, what you've learned from him, maybe what he's learned from you, and how that has helped you also continue to grow and develop.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Maxie coming in here with all the, you know, awards and the hardware, you know, it was a little eye-opening for me, for sure. I think he could say this too. I think our personalities are very different. I'm very quiet, but, I mean, he goes out there and he's fearless. And, you know, I think there's certain times that I have a tendency to maybe, like, you know, not shy away from things or shy away from, you know, certain hitters, but it's like that aggressiveness that I watched over those years is that was something that, like, hey, I don't really care what happens, but it's like, as long as I'm aggressive, that's something that is important to me. So,
you draft Steve, you sit here for his extension, and now you sit here today for this news on this new contract. What's it been like for you to watch that journey, and maybe what kind of changes, development, growth that you've seen in him over that time?
Well, you know, when we scouted him as a starting pitcher in San Diego State, you know, we realized that this was a special talent. Had a lot of gifts. His repertoire was great. He had the size, delivery, and stuff to be a, you know, elite major league starter. But what we found, you know, over the years is that you know, he's a better teammate and a better man than he is a pitcher. He's a pretty damn good pitcher. So, I admire the way he gets after it. You know, we all talk about the past and what happened back then. But we realized growing up together in this organization that it takes a village. And you know, this isn't the NBA where you give the ball to Michael Jordan and say, win us a title. This thing is, it takes a village, and it took Strauss, it took Max, it took a bunch of guys to come together. When everybody was shoveling dirt on it this year, it proved that if you believe in yourself, you can do special things, and I think he epitomizes that.
Strauss, there have been a lot of famous rotations in baseball, Kane, Lincecum, Bumgarner, and Lavin, Maddox, and Smoltz. You've been with Max 5 years, signed with Corbin for six. Do you guys have a sense of yourself now that you've won the World Series as potentially a historic rotation, big three, whatever you
want? I'm sorry.
Not the history so much, but do you have that sense of a threesome?
No, I... I think we're... All three of us... the things that we really enjoy about this game is the day in and day out grind, trying to perfect something that's almost impossible to perfect, the craft of that comes with pitching. I think that's something that we all try and, you know, tap into all of the ability that we have and use it. And you know, for me, it's the simplest form. It's not, you know, where you stack up in history or, you know, what your legacy is going to be, what, you know, they're going to say in the record books. It's really a matter of, you know, when everything is over, what will I wish I had done? And, you know, that's something that's always fueled the fire for me, the simplest things in the game of just going out there and throwing a certain pitch exactly where you want it. That's what kind of makes me tick.
Scott mentioned the former mentor, Tony Gwynn. What kind of impact did he leave on you that stays with you today? Do you feel like you are honoring him as a legacy player?
I mean, I can only speak for the impact that it had on me as a kid. You know, he will always be Mr. Padre. The impact that he had in the community, something I'll never forget, and I think, you know, as a kid, that's what really drew me to him as being my favorite player, was that he was always there in right field for 20 years. So.
Steven Strasburg re-signing with the Nationals, 7 years, $245 million. Very likely could become the first ever Washington National lifer to make the Hall of Fame. The way that his career has gone
when
with the October
he's got a chance.
That he just had. Had an incredible first hour as we're celebrating 10 years of Bruce Allen today. We're using the hashtag 10 years of Bruce. Oddly, kind of switch things up for the Strasburg presser there, but there is an ironic juxtaposition between Bruce running the Redskins and then Mike Rizzo talking about the World Series champion that he has built and the player that he is re-signing. We don't get many of those re-signing press conferences with the Redskins. You're listening to Grant and Danny. Steven Strasburg will join us this hour on the phone, but we'll get back into our celebration of Bruce Allen, which is going to go strong until 2 today, next on The Fan.
No better time than right now. That's what EMP180's Why Wait offer is all about. Don't put it off until New Year's after all the holiday parties and the traveling, the eating of all the desserts and the things. We pack on the pounds. You start your New Year's resolution, it's already too late. Get started now with our Why Wait offer. If you sign up for at least 6 weeks or more, at EMP180, you will get a bonus week for free. These guys have helped me. They've helped Grant. So many of our listeners lose the weight and keep it off and keep yourself on track.
EMP180 helped my life, maybe even saved my life, certainly added years to it for sure. I was at it in a pretty unhealthy way. Big, heavy, overweight, couldn't do anything I wanted to without getting tired. They changed the game, and they did it for each of my brothers as well. Check out EMP180 at 855-888-888. 0180. That's 855-888-0180 or go to emp180.com. Looking forward to continuing to celebrate Bruce Allen's 10-year anniversary on Grant and Danny. We'll be doing it until 2 today, but there is a World Series champion in this town, and they have a big announcement today. As they have re-signed Steven Strasburg, 7 years and $245 million. Strass just met with the media, and he's kind enough to join us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, fresh out of his press conference. First of all, Steven, congratulations on the massive new contract and on staying put. We are thrilled to have you back in D.C.
And congratulations on winning a World Series. So thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Steven, can you hear us, buddy?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry about that. Appreciate you. So let's just start with the negotiation and getting the deal done. Did you ever think you were going to leave? We were worried when we started to hear the flirtation with some other teams getting involved. Did you think you'd be a Nat all along?
I think, you know, with free agency, it's kind of tough for me to really explain it. But I kind of just put my head down and said, hey, like, you know, let's see what happens. Try not to think about it almost. So I was really focused on just spending time with family and really just trying to catch up with everybody that I missed back in California. But the Nationals were committed to, you know, wanting me back from really the first day of the off season. So it wasn't really a difficult situation.
Steven, you've always been a hard worker, and that's been evident in the career you've had. It's obviously the numbers speak for themselves and how good you've been since you were first called up. Do you feel like you took that work ethic to a different level, though, here over the last couple of years as you've matured and grown both as a person and a player?
I would say the effort has always been there, but, you know, the way you apply it, I think, is one thing that, you know, you learn how to do it more efficiently. Over time, you learn more about how your body works over time, and really it just comes down to, you know, keeping the effort level there, and then you will, you know, hopefully figure it out at some point.
What you did in the playoffs this year had never been done before. No starting pitcher had ever gone 5-0, and then anecdotally you go through it, you know, out of the bullpen in the wild card game and down 1-0 and 2-1. Twice pitching in huge spots in the division series, including in Game 5, going toe-to-toe. Late, you guys have to beat the Dodgers to finally get through to the LCS. You punch out 12. You go head-to-head with Verlander twice in the World Series. Have you had a chance yet to look back? I don't know if you watched the highlights or how you even kind of celebrate what you guys did, but you have that opportunity yet?
Not really. You know, this experience was something that, you know, I'm sure I'll be able to look back on down the road, but my dad has probably spent the most time watching the highlights, and you know, he'll kind of talk to me. I think Howie Kendrick's his favorite player now, which I understand completely. No, it's you kind of just get so ingrained into this baseball lifestyle that it's like one season at a time, you know, one game at a time, one pitch at a time, and then once it's all over, you just need a little bit of a mental break, and then it's like focus on the next season. So that's kind of, you know, I kind of just immediately went into that mode where it was once all the celebrations were over, it was really just, you know, take a break with some family, enjoy that time, and then get back to work.
Did winning the World Series make it more likely that you came back in any way?
Well, I think the coaches, the coaching staff, the players that we have here, their commitment to winning, I think there was, a lot of emphasis put on the clubhouse culture the last few years. And, man, some of these young players that we have coming up and who've already arrived, special people, obviously extremely talented. And I think it was just something that I wanted to continue to be a part of because, last year was one of the most fun seasons I've ever had.
Yeah, understandable when you win a World Series and pitch deep into October, man. It was fun for everybody.
It wasn't even really like that was such a huge accomplishment, but I think just the way that we came together as a group, and it was all 25 of us, and there was just a lot of fun in the clubhouse during the games, and I think that those things have just, you know, keeping us relaxed and loose allowed us to kind of treat those pressure situations in a different way than we may have in the past.
Well, and it was certainly infectious for the fans. I mean, the fans got to share in that sort of cascade of joy as well. It was so obvious how much fun that you guys are having together, and you're a huge part of that. And the question I was going to ask you is, and this isn't a criticism by any stretch, it's just, you know, everybody's wired differently. I got the sense that probably 6-7 years ago, if you see like Grant and I's pudgy behind, you know, trotting up to you at spring training asking for an interview, you'd rather swallow a plate of fire ants. But now you're dancing in the dugout. It's now it's not that big a deal. And I think some of that growth is really cool and contributed to this thing, to the journey that you guys went on. Can you speak to that a little bit just in terms of whether it's being comfortable or just kind of your own personal growth?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I think the city has grown on me, and I think, you know, coming from California, you can't really comprehend what, you know, winning a championship to a city like DC is until you kind of live it. And I think we're all in the same boat, you know, you guys being here through all the, you know, good times and bad times. I think it's, you know, one of the things that we preached in the clubhouse was family. And I think in a bigger perspective, this city has really pulled behind us and as a group of guys and as a fan base. And I think that's something that, you know, you want to be a part of.
Steven Strasburg on Grant and Danny. I mean, you've got a chance to go down kind of as Mr. National. Ryan Zimmerman's the only other guy, really, who looks like he'll spend his entire career in the nation's capital. And you very well could be the first ever guy to go to the Hall of Fame who's been a Nat start to finish in your career. There was thought initially maybe Bryce could be that guy, maybe Rendon could be that guy. But you're the quote-unquote the last man standing who's prioritized D.C., who's considered this home. I think the fans are going to take good care of you forever because of that. But why? Why is D.C. your home in a way maybe for other guys that it didn't become that way?
Well, I think, you know, I'm as I guess reserved as I am to a lot of people, or maybe from the outside looking in, the people in the clubhouse is such a huge factor for me. They have such a great staff here from top to bottom. People that I've been around through my whole career. Riz has obviously brought in a lot of great talent over the years too. And, it feels like home. It really does, you know, being able to come into the clubhouse and be in this environment is something that, you know, I cherish, and that's really important to me. And, that was a huge deciding factor in this process.
Well, congrats again, man, on both the contract and being back here in Washington for being a National for life and that World Series title. You've endeared yourself to hundreds of thousands of fans, including my little 6-year-old son who now idolizes you. And there's a lot of stories just like that around the DMV. So thank you and congrats again, man. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we'll be indebted to you and that group forever. There's Steven Strasburg on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan, his press conference, and the first one-on-one in town right here on G&D, which is pretty cool after his $245 million contract. Big thanks to the Nationals. Bruce Allen should send them a bed of roses today because he just got 37 minutes less of his celebration, in air quotes.
We got the punching back here. We got it lined up.
We're going to pull it back out because we got until 2 o'clock for the Bruce Allen celebration. Speaking of which, Bretton in Haymarket has been waiting. He wants to wish Bruce a happy anniversary on Bruce Allen Anniversary Day. 10 years ago today, December 17th, 2009, he was hired. We are going to be covering for the rest of the show those 10 years of Bruce. Brett, how are you?
Well, hi there, Gus and Duncan. How are you on this Bruce Allen Anniversary Day?
It's a big day.
I just wanted to point out that if you subtract the 3 years that Kirk Cousins was a starter, which obviously Bruce got rid of him because he wasn't a winner.
He's not a winner,
though. If you subtract those 3 years, his record goes from 62-101 to 38-77, which is good for a winning percentage drop from 383 to 304.
Ooh, so about 8% down.
Oh, that is a good,
very good math from you, Brett.
What a good nugget that is.
So I just wanted to point that out, yeah.
That's a very important to point out. Are there a couple quotes we didn't get to in our top five ranking earlier that we did on the best quotes of Bruce Allen? I wanted to talk about Pat Mahomes for a second. When Bruce Allen claimed, after trading for Alex Smith, that basically everything was going to be okay because, you know, the Redskins eventually had to draft a quarterback with Dwayne Haskins. And it might even been after they went and got the kid quarterback that they said basically Alex Smith would help make him an MVP because he once did it with Pat Mahomes. And that's why Mahomes is good.
I see.
Not because Mahomes is good, but because Alex Smith was there.
Well, we're going to try and get every player acclimated immediately. We do have to start out fast this year. We opened with the Philadelphia Eagles, and we're going to have our best lineup on the field. As far as Dwayne, you know, we have a great system and a great environment to develop a quarterback. Our offensive coordinator, our quarterback coach, our senior assistant all played quarterback in the NFL. Our head coach was a quarterback. And, of course, we have Doug Williams in the building. And we think we have the perfect environment to nurture a young player. And don't forget, the guy, the secret ingredient maybe for Patrick Mahomes was Alex Smith. So we're pleased to have Alex and this group to help mentor a quarterback.
A perfect environment. I can't think of a better environment for a young quarterback than a lame duck head coach who might get fired in five games.
Who clearly didn't want him and made sure everybody else knows that. There were split factions down the middle, and every week we had a new report about people were alarmed at both his
owner
study.
And GM wanted him, football people didn't. Nothing screams success for a young quarterback like that.
You build the nest by saying he can't play, he can't get in the game, he's a danger to himself, he can't figure it out, he didn't know how to practice, he just cares about Instagram or whatever. So that was a perfect little nest to build for a young player. That was awesome. Good call, Bruce.
We have Doug Williams in the building.
So he's in the building.
So our young quarterback will thrive.
He's in the building, and you can check his time card. Check his time card.
Pat Mahomes, MVP of the league because Alex Smith was his teacher at one point in time. And then there was, and this will be high on the list. I'm not going to spoil where it ends up on my list of Bruce debacles because we're going to do that in the 12 o'clock hour. That's actually going to start right at noon in about 20 minutes. Our top Bruce Allen debacles of his tenure. But the Trent Williams saga is going to be heavily featured
there.
That's
right, yes.
Maybe the worst of the worst, right? Your best player doesn't want to play, is holding out, is literally, essentially, punting on millions of dollars so that he doesn't have to play for you again. And he has said publicly one of the big reasons is his disdain for the team president. Well, Bruce Allen, the day before training camp, when we all knew, and all of us who are plugged in on this, were telling you Trent Williams isn't going to show up. People like me were talking to folks close to him and to the team that said, yeah, he's not going to be here. Bruce Allen knew different, though. He knew different than the rest of us.
Well, Trent, we players are reporting tonight and in the morning, and we expect him. Expect everybody.
Oh, he must have been there then.
Remember, the other quote he said was, I know the truth.
I know the
truth. But Bruce, why do you feel different than everybody else? And he said, we know the truth. We're still waiting on that truth. We don't know what the truth is still. I'm guessing he's going to unveil it at some point, perhaps this offseason. Maybe in his office in a very small press conference with a couple hand-selected folks. where he goes inside the negotiation.
Going to write the truth on a post-it pad and lock it behind 17 different barriers.
Before we rank the debacles, remember we're playing Kirk versus Kirk. Before we get out of here today, we'll make a phone call to Hawaii. We'll cut into the cake and eat some 10-year anniversary Bruce Allen cake. I've got a very special game prepared for you next that I once saw at an anniversary party.
Ooh, I'm excited about this.
This is a real anniversary party game that we'll play on the radio next on Grant and Danny. 10 years of Bruce.
Keep on sliding on the trombone.
Nice of Jarrah to wish Bruce a happy anniversary. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. Danny, you ever been to an anniversary party?
I have, yes.
Yeah, I went to one once. I'm trying to remember whose it was. It was like a 50-year anniversary party, maybe a great aunt or something.
I had a grandparent's 50th. I've been to a few 25s, and I think I went to like a 30 at one point. That was a nice event, nice to do.
So they played this game at this anniversary party I went to where they played a song. Everyone came out. All the married couples came out on the dance floor, and they danced together, slow danced together.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would announce the number of years that you've been married. And when they said the number of years that you've been married, you sat down. And then we saw in the end who were the last people standing. Who was the last couple that we honored, and they would win some prize. Okay?
Yeah.
So I wanted to play that game with you, if you don't mind.
I love it. And I love that we got a little air supply in the background.
Why not?
This is perfect.
So this is
what did I say? Air supply? Sorry, Foreigner. Excuse
10-year anniversary of Bruce Allen. This is the anniversary game I've prepared for you. So I've taken the liberty of looking up how long every NFL general manager has had their current post as the GM of their team.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to do is we're going to see where does Bruce come in line.
All right.
Among the NFL teams. So first thing, the Texans have to leave the dance floor because they don't have a GM. They have decided that Bill O'Brien is their head coach.
Just trade away all the picks, Bill.
They're just not doing the GM thing. So there's 31 couples on the dance floor, so to speak. I need all of the GMs who are in their first year being a GM to sit down. Oh, look, there's Mike Mayock of the Raiders taking a seat. Joe Douglas of the Jets having a seat.
Mm.
And Eric DaCosta, longtime assistant to Ozzie Newsome in Baltimore.
Right. Yes.
He's making his way back with his wife to take a seat in his
All
chair.
All you novices, have a sit down.
All right. Play a little music. Crank this music for me a little bit here, Thommy, before we get to year number two. Bruce is still dancing, baby.
Still dancing.
Look at Bruce over there cutting a rug. Let's see how long Bruce can last. Okay. Year two, if you are in your second year as a general manager, please have a seat. Looks like Brian Gutekunst of the Green Bay Packers is headed to the playoffs. He's taking a seat.
Want you to show me.
They're 11-3. John Lynch is taking a seat. They're 11-3 as well, playoff bound.
Hey, John.
Brett Veach of the Chiefs. They're a good team.
They seem to be good.
Last year, second year.
Bamboozled old Bruce Allen in that Alex Smith trade we've been talking about.
They did okay. Yeah. He and John Dorsey before he went to Cleveland. Speaking of John Dorsey, year two of Cleveland. Take a seat. There he goes.
Hey, John. Nice. What's up, buddy?
And, this one's fun. People don't like this guy very much. Wave goodbye. Dave Gettleman is headed off the dance floor.
You sit down, Dave.
Of the New York Giants. Ladies and gentlemen, those are year two GMs.
Year twos.
All right. Let's play a little music, Tom. Hit that button. Where's Bruce? What's he doing?
He's just waving. There goes the Hall of Famer. Excuse me, miss. He was dancing with his wife, but now he's going to go.
Doing some dancing. All right, let's get to the year three GMs. If you've been a general manager for 3 years, it is time to sit down. That means Bob Quinn of the very unsuccessful Lions.
Bob Quinn.
3 years of not having success. He's in a little trouble, probably.
3 years. So that I believe he made the decision to move on from Jim Caldwell and said yes to Matt Patricia.
Marty Herney.
Marty!
He was actually the GM of the Panthers from 2000 to 2012, long after writing for the Washington Times.
Uh-huh.
He also was in the Essex Home Studios when a car broke the window.
Everyone is okay here
doing
in the
radio.
Office.
What a career this guy's had. And now in his second tenure as GM of the Panthers, he's in year three. It's
basically like they call Bickle to like go do be the GM, and then he goes back to being on the radio.
Brandon Bean of the Bills having a seat. What a job he's done in
Brandon
3 years.
Brandon Bean? Hey, buddy.
Hell of a GM.
There's Brandon.
Speaking of good GMs, Kevin Colbert of the Steelers. He's done a lot of good scouting and drafting for that organization.
Right.
And Chris Ballard of the Colts.
Chris, I'm a Ballard guy.
What a stud he is.
I'm a Ballard guy.
All right, those are your year three GMs taking a seat. The couple's still standing, including
Old Brucey.
Bruce is in the mix,
Bruce is
baby.
Still standing. Listen to the chorus on this Foreigner tune, though. You know what I mean? When
this
everyone gets involved.
This is good. All right, let's get to the GMs in year four that need to take a seat. Ryan Pace of the Bears. What is it that you would say you do here?
Yeah, you do need to take a seat, Ryan Pace.
I'm not sure if he'll be back in this dance next year.
Anybody here trade up for Mitch Trubisky? You did.
Dolphins, Chris Greer, 4 years in with Miami, headed in the tankathon direction.
Uh-huh.
And John Robinson, who does a good job with the Titans, I would say.
Yeah, solid job, yeah.
Annually competitive in
Annual.
A fairly mediocre division. Annual. John Robinson, take a seat. Those are your four-year GMs.
Good job, four-year guys.
There are only 15 GMs still standing. We're in the top half of the league,
wow.
People.
Wow.
Year five GMs. There's only one. Jason Licht, your time has come.
Licht.
Thank you for participating. You're celebrating your five-year anniversary.
5 years.
But that's not good enough. Oh, nice change of pace,
little Peter
Tommy.
Cetera. Thank you.
See, all those other GMs didn't get to dance to this.
You don't get a second song.
I know one guy who gets a second song.
Knight in Shining Armor.
Where are you at, Brucey? What's he doing on the dance floor? Tell me. I can't find him.
He's got a nice little waltz
what
going.
What about? Where
it's
is he?
Oh, he's right over here. It's a little boxy two-step type thing.
Oh,
he's
okay.
Doing the, hey, look at me, shuffle my hands, jazz hands.
Jazz
back
hands,
to hand.
Good move.
Put your hand on my shoulder.
Six-year GMs. We got Tom Telesco of the Chargers.
Yeah.
What are they going to do with Phil Rivers? Tom Telesco's got to figure that
Big
out.
Decision
Have a
for
seat,
Tom.
Sir.
Yep.
Mickey Loomis. What a job he
Mickey
does with
Loomis.
The Saints.
Hey, Mick, what's up, buddy?
Doesn't he randomly help run the Pelicans, too? Isn't that a thing?
I can't remember if he does.
It's the
like
wackiest
maybe he does.
Bit in the world. Yeah. Dar, can you answer that? Doesn't Mickey Loomis also
does he do Pelican stuff?
Run the Pelicans?
Yeah. He does, right?
Makes no sense. We need to talk about that another time. Steve Keim of the Cardinals.
Oh, Steve.
Up and down 6 years. Could be the end of the road for him.
Tough one for Steve.
Yeah. But there you go. Those are all of your six-year
wow.
GMs.
All right.
We've got 11 GMs still standing, and Bruce is one of them.
Yeah!
Longest tenured GMs in the National Football League. Seventh-year GMs. Here we go. You ready?
Did it
See if Bruce sits down now. Dave Caldwell of the Jaguars. Has not been a good 24 hours for Dave Caldwell.
Yeah. The NFLPA and the judge was like, you guys did it wrong and a lot of fines.
Have a seat, sir.
He's going to have a seat.
Rick man. Spielman of the Vikings.
Rick Spielman.
Made a conference championship game under Spielman.
Yeah.
Headed back to the playoffs again this year.
Mm-hmm.
Could still win the NFC North. And Les Snead of the Rams. They were in the Super Bowl last year. Seven-year GM.
Hey, Les. What's up, buddy? Good to see you, pal.
We are down to eight GMs.
Eight. And there were eight.
Look at Brucey. He's pointing at people. We got a bunch of guys who have won Super Bowls and been in Super Bowls here.
I didn't know you could pop and lock like that, Bruce. Look at this.
By the way,
you need some cardboard to break dance?
Almost all the people still dancing have either been in or won a Super Bowl.
Multiple big champions.
Almost
the champions
all of them.
Tour. Yep.
All right. Eight-year GMs. Ready?
Yep.
John Elway, who has indeed been to a Super Bowl and won it with Peyton Manning as an executive.
John
Have
Elway.
A seat. He's your only eight-year GM.
Mm.
Now on to the nine-year GMs.
Night
Howie Roseman of the Eagles. Have they won a Super Bowl?
They have indeed. Annually competitive.
Course.
Hey, Howie. Love how you think about the game, bud.
Nine-year GM John Schneider of the Seahawks.
Schneider.
Take a seat. And then there were five.
Oh, buddy.
Brucey is still dancing, baby.
And your
baby.
Final five, shucking and jiving.
All right, 10-year GMs. There's only one. It's been real.
Yeah!
Bruce!
Yeah!
You did it, baby. 10 years.
Congrats, buddy.
You're
Cheers.
On the podium with just a bunch of winners. Here are the four guys still dancing.
Uh-huh.
Thomas Dimitroff of the Falcons. Mike Brown of the Bengals, who also owns the team.
Oh.
Jerry Jones of the Cowboys, who also owns the team. And Bill Belichick of the Patriots, who is the greatest coach of all time. That's the list that has outlasted Bruce Allen. 11 years, Thomas Dimitroff. Take a seat.
Yeah.
23 years, Bill Belichick in New England. Have
sure.
a seat. Mike Brown of the Bengals, 28 years. You're also the owner. You're not going to fire yourself.
And you're doing it great out there, buddy.
And the man who started the segment, Jerry Jones,
Jera.
Is the last man on the dance floor. 30 years of Jerry. He also owns the team.
Man,
you don't
never
fire
retire.
Yourself.
No.
Bruce Allen, top five in our dance-off among general managers.
Imagine having that kind of tenure and staying power. That illustrious group at the top. Two people that own the team.
You've either won Super Bowls or you own the team.
And Bill Belichick has six Super Bowls.
That's how you last longer than Bruce Allen.
You own the team and are an idiot, or you're the greatest coach slash front office person of all time.
Thank you, Tommy, for picking Bruce. Two wonderful songs.
Thank you, Peter Cetera, for that.
We will get to your calls next. You haven't really gotten a chance to weigh in a little while. What was Steven Strasburg's press conference? 800-636-1067. If you've got a message for Bruce on his 10-year anniversary day. Also, we will begin our ranking of the list of the largest debacles of epic proportion under Bruce Allen. Running the Redskins, Grant and Danny on the Fan.
The Glory of Love by Peter Cetera was on the Karate Kid 2 soundtrack. Is that important to this Ted Britt read? No, it's not. But I'm so confident in Ted Britt Ford, I'm literally wasting time talking about Peter Cetera, The Glory of Love, and Karate Kid 2, where they journey to Okinawa, and Karate Kid has to fight like a really serious battle on some lily pads, and they do that thing with the drum. That's how great Ted Britt Ford is. I could talk about Karate Kid 2. Go see them now for their holiday sales event, okay? It's happening now at Ted Britt Ford. They're built for the holidays. Estimated 20% savings on select Ford models. You get lifetime vehicle coverage. New pre-owned doesn't matter, right? Anything less than 100,000 miles, you get it. It's the best buying experience in town. And you get confidence for life, powertrain, service loaners, battery replacement, windshield repair, Virginia State inspection, all for life. And some of these deals are unbelievable. How about $17,400 below MSRP on a new 2019 F-150 truck? How about $14,900 off the MSRP on a 2019 F-250? How about $10,800 off a 2019 Ford Ranger and $9,800 off the MSRP on a 2020 Ford Explorer? See the theme, okay? Better than the themes in the Karate Kid Part 2. The best. Go see my guys at Shepherd Sports. Fairfax Central. Hookaway at Shepherd.com. When you go, tell them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.